Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 663. The topic is training, and the title is The Muscles You Should Be Training. I was talking with a trainer recently, and we were talking about what our focal points are when we train clients. And mostly we were trying to focus around what were our commonalities amongst all the clients that we had. What are the things that kind of just seemed kind of foundational, and we would always build and develop off of that. The reason why we were discussing this was because they had a special client, had some special needs, and they were wanting to make sure that they not only addressed those special needs, but also addressed kind of the basics of what the person would need for long term as well. So part of my job of what I love to do is work with other trainers, and we do ghost programming. So it's a service where I help trainers work with their clients who is maybe a client with special needs, something they have to learn about. It's kind of new for them. They're unsure exactly what they're doing. So they'll have us get involved and help out. And the client usually never knows that we're involved. It's just a great way for that trainer to get support and get help and grow in knowledge on how to handle that type of client in the future. So it's a great way for the trainer to have guided learning where they don't have to turn away a client, they don't have to accept a client, but then not do a good job for the client. So they want to do their best, therefore they ask us for help. So I've been personal training now for 18 years. I have a teaching certification, health and phys ed, master's in nutrition, certified personal trainer through American College of Sports Medicine, corrective exercise specialist through NASM, and I've worked with a lot of variety of people, over 2,000 clients, work with people who are beginners to people who have been in the Olympics and like CrossFit Games and Division I athletes, professional athletes. I've worked with a bunch of different nutritional disorders and conditions. So just over the years, you tend to see everything. So therefore, you get really good experience on how to handle everything. So that's the beauty of that service, and that's where this conversation kind of started from. So what we got in conclusion to was talking about the muscles that everyone should be training, but most people actually don't, or they don't train them specifically with intent. And the areas that we kind of focused down into were the core. So that would be like your rectus abdominis, like your six pack, your obliques, even like the lower back and kind of the supportive musculature of your lower spine, like around the lumbar spine, was an area that everybody needs to benefit from. And we're going to talk about why here in a second. But people need to be training that more cohesively and kind of more foundationally, in the sense to where a lot of people will do crunches, which trains your rectus abdominis, and they maybe would start to throw in like twisting movements, which trains your obliques, but they don't also factor in training your lower back. And there's even like spinal erectors, quadratus lumborum, there's a whole bunch of muscles that are kind of involved in that area. And too often people miss a whole total set of the muscles because their exercise selection is too narrow. So that was one area we identified. Another one was glutes. So a lot of people train, like a lot of females will train glutes now for aesthetics, but they tend to train the gluteus maximus, not so much the inner muscles. So your piriformis, glute min, stuff like that. They need to train the internal, external rotation muscles. So that way the hips actually have protection and strength within the socket, not only just a rounded booty. Then we also identified the shoulder blades. So the thoracic spine, most notably like teres major, rhomboids, lower traps, that type of area. So those are three areas that everyone absolutely needs to train. Everyone on the planet should be giving a counted effort, an intentional effort to their core, their glutes, and their shoulder blades, the musculature that controls the shoulder blades. So there's a lot of muscles involved in each of those areas, and I don't want to get too much into the details of that, because even though understanding anatomy is extremely helpful, I want to focus more so on why we would train this stuff, what are some example exercises, and then you can look up the anatomy kind of extra on your own. So those are three areas that we identified. I went through with every single one of my clients when we were talking and kind of did like a checklist in my head of like yes, no, yes, no. And every single one of my clients, we addressed these areas, absolutely. Some we address them more frequently and more intensely than others. There's variance in there depending on their goals, but they're all addressed every time. And why are these areas extremely important is mostly because they protect you. They protect you and they strengthen you. So if your core, glutes, and or musculature of the upper back, if any of those areas are weak, your posture is going to be poor, and that starts to negatively impact all muscles of the body in terms of uneven and imbalanced usage and tightness and kind of like tenseness of muscles. So it can start to change positioning, starts to change. Like, so for example, a lot of people get tension headaches, and often that's typically related to a forward rounded kind of posture. They're going to have their head and neck extended forward. The muscles on the back side of their head are going to be active and tight, and that can restrict blood flow, that can cause problems. And if they were simply just to address their hip positioning when they sat, if they addressed their thoracic positioning when they sat, they would get rid of a lot of those problems, and people wouldn't have the tension headaches as frequently throughout the day. Now, there's still going to be tension headaches related to staring at a computer for 14 hours, being dehydrated, a whole bunch of other components, but it's definitely something that contributes quite significantly that people don't recognize. We also look at everything we do around the house, everyday activities, picking up laundry, doing dishes, bending over to pick up something out of a cabinet, put something in a cabinet. All day, every day, we use the muscles of our core and our glutes. And when we don't have those muscles properly strong, we over-rely on other muscles that will do the work, but they're not meant to. So they'll compensate. Therefore, and that might be the lower back, and that might be locking on the hamstrings. That way the hips have support, which they should have been getting from the glutes, but they don't. So therefore, the person has like really tight hamstrings. They might have plantar fasciitis. If they have tight hamstrings, they're going to have like lower back pain because the lower back is being asked to be a bracer and a mover, a stabilizer and a mover. Not going to work well. So there's just so many complications we get in everyday life from weakness in these areas. Then if you look at movements, people's movements in the gym, or even in sport, anything like that, they're just, oh my gosh, they're so inefficient and so incorrect based on weaknesses in these three areas. So these are the areas that we absolutely should be training, and most people don't pay enough attention to them. So I wanted to go through that and kind of discuss what I talked about with that trainer. What were some examples of exercises that they could use with their clients? And we have an offer here at the end to provide some knowledge on that. So I'll get to that here in a second. So if we want to incorporate these three areas, thoracic spine, core, and glutes, do we all of a sudden have to change up our programming? Do we have to, you know, get rid of what we like to do and do all these stupid, tedious exercises that are miserable and we don't like them? And, you know, like, does our training have to become not fun anymore? Do we have to make drastic changes? And the answer is absolutely not. Not in any way whatsoever. So how I address these three areas with my clients, most commonly, is right away in their kind of warm-up or their movement preparation. So before we get into the big movements, we address these three areas to make sure their body is actually even ready for the big movements. Typically how this looks is they'll have a circuit at the beginning of their training. It'll be three or more exercises. Sometimes it's two, depending on if I'm layering things, but there's a couple exercises they'll do. They're typically asked to do them for three sets with very minimal rest, because a lot of these exercises, although they do take effort, they aren't aerobically challenging, conditioning, cardiovascularly challenging, so therefore they don't need long rest periods. So I'll ask them to go through the cycles pretty quick and not waste a lot of time. So too often you'll see people meander about in their warm-ups and they take over 10 minutes, and there's absolutely no need for that at all. Zero. None. So people will be doing stretches and BS and then doing all this other crap, and then they say, oh, my workouts last, you know, an hour and a half, or oh, my workouts always take 2 hours. Bullshit. Get your ass moving and get to work. You don't have to sit around and do all that stuff, hee-hawing around. Just get in the gym, get to work. You do not need to be in the gym for 2 hours. So most commonly when people have long workouts like that, it's because they're not adhering to rest periods. They need to be more mindful of the rest periods and challenge themselves more cardiovascularly, because cardiovascular health improves all around recovery, and that'll actually improve their strength, that'll improve their muscle mass. So even if their goal isn't improved cardiovascular health, they still need to pay attention to that, because it factors into how much of their actual goal they will achieve. So in the circuit that we set it up in different orders, but there's always going to be something that addresses the thoracic spine musculature, something that addresses the core, and something that addresses the glutes. If we look at the thoracic spine, there are a couple different ways that I'll structure this, but three very common kind of categories will be scapular retractions. If you don't know what that is, you can look that up on YouTube. Just simply type scapular retractions. There's a bajillion variations of them. So we do scapular retractions, and what this would be is essentially you're going to force your shoulder blades to spread apart and then contract the musculature of your lower traps, your rhomboids, and other muscles in that area to pull your shoulder blades together as if you're trying to pinch them together. And they are movements that allow for shoulder blade movement. You want to increase the range of motion, increase the activation, increase the mental awareness, the mind-muscle connection of the muscles related to shoulder blade positioning. So scapular retraction variations is a great way to do that. So when I name this stuff, I'll tell you here further down is, in the conversation with that trainer, we ended up making a handout. It was a PDF document that I sold to the trainer as part of the service, and it was 100 examples of different types of warm-up circuits. So we're going to offer that to you all as well. So I'm going to talk about through, like, what are the exercise categories that we pay attention to. You can write these down, you can search them yourself, you can put this together yourself if you'd like. Or we do offer that PDF. So the PDF is $20 because it took a considerable amount of time to put together, but it's a pretty low cost for everything that's involved. So it's 100 examples of warm-ups from all abilities, whether somebody's a beginner, intermediate, advanced, body weight examples, small equipment examples using dumbbells, weight plates, barbells, bands, standard commercial gym examples, and even specialty equipment like tires and sleds and strongman type stuff. So it's 100 examples, everything you'd be able to use, fully complete with tutorial videos, the number of sets and reps you should do, and kind of progressive structures. So pretty awesome handout. I was very happy to be able to give that to the trainer. They've already implemented it and said they freaking love it. And so I figured we'd go ahead and extend that since we already created it. So it'd be a great offer for everybody. So if you want to listen through what I'm going to say through the exercises, like I said, you're welcome to write them down, or you can take advantage of the offer, and we'll explain that more here in a little bit. So with thoracic spine, we do address scapular retractions. We also look at braced range of movement exercises. And what this would mean is we are going to brace our shoulder blades in proper positioning, which means they are pulled inward and downward. Now, when you pull your shoulder blades in and down, as if you're trying to touch your shoulder blades down to your hip, you also have to be aware of keeping your abdominal muscles, the rectus abdominis, under control, so that way you're not just extending your belly and arching your lower back. So typically, when you squeeze your shoulder blades together and down, you also want to pull your ab wall inward, and you want to flex your glutes. This is going to lock your torso into proper neutral positioning, and then we would do any kind of movement from there. It might be an overhead press with bands, it might be an overhead press with plates. We'll even lay on the ground and do like different variations of movements, like snow angels, making snow angels but on your belly. There's things called Cuban presses, there's movements called YTWs. There's a ton of movements that involve the concept of bracing your shoulder blades together, but then allowing upper arm movement. And this would be the exact same thing you would need to do for overhead sports, for overhead activities, proper bench pressing type activities. So we'll use this for various people. So this is actually a really good example. I'm currently working with a pitcher, and I've worked with a ton of other throwing athletes, and it's a very important ability for them to have scapular mobility and scapular control. So that's another option of exercises. And then another category we use is just back exercises performed correctly. So if somebody's performing a seated row, cable seated row, their shoulder blades should extend apart and should contract together whenever they're performing the movement. Too often people just kind of lock their shoulders in place and they just pull the weight with their biceps, relax the weight with their biceps, pull the weight with their biceps, and their shoulders never move. Your shoulders absolutely should be extending forward and outward as you extend in a row position, and the shoulder blades coming together should actually be the initiation of the movement rather than pulling on the handle with your biceps. So back movements done correctly are great ways to train the thoracic spine. So those are three common categories that you can look into on your own. There's more out there, but it's scapular retraction variations, braced range of movement exercises where you're bracing the shoulder blades but moving your upper arm bone, and then back exercises. Those are great ways to address thoracic spine health, and they're great things to incorporate into any warm-up. So for example, before bench pressing for powerlifters, I love to have them perform back exercises because it gets the blood flow into their shoulders, it gets movement and awareness of their shoulder blade positioning, and their elbows get kind of blood flow into it, they get their whole core warmed up. So when they lay down on the bench to now bench press and they want to have proper benching position, means their shoulder blades are together and down, they've just done a whole bunch of that work like that by doing the back exercises. So they're primed and ready for the best form they could have on a barbell bench press. So even though a barbell bench press seems like a push, like a chest exercise type thing, it would be great to warm up with back exercises. So that's one kind of neat example. The other things we look at, like we said, was core and glutes. So for core, you have the typical things that most people think of, which is flexion and rotation movements, where you're actually contracting, extending your six-pack or your obliques, your rotational movements. So you think of this as hanging leg raises, sitting crunches, cable crunches, decline crunches. You can do Russian twists. You can do banded twists, pull-off twists. Anything that has rotation, anything that has flexion, that's a common example that most people will use. We also want to get into anti-flexion and anti-rotation. These are great ways to fire off more musculature of the core and actually get a kind of a deeper degree of stress into the torso and therefore get a greater response of the abdominal muscles. So, and this would even include like lower back muscles and in general just all the muscles along the core. So anti-flexion, anti-rotation, a variation of anti-flexion would be a plank. So people are aware of that. There's a bajillion ways to do planks. There's actually really good ways to do planks and really crappy ways to do planks. But planks are a variation. You do side planks, regular planks. Anti-flexion can also just be like front squat carries, where like I'll walk sometimes with our yoke in a front racked position and have to walk like that and try to prevent the yoke from bending me over, bending me forward. You have anti-rotation, which would be pretty much any twisting movement where you just stand still or hold still against the pressure of what might be pulling on you, whether that's a weight stack or a band or another person or anything like that. So you can look up again on YouTube, just type in anti-flexion or anti-rotation exercises. There's a million of them. Really fun ones, there's some crappy ones, but there's a lot of really fun ones too. We also want to look at braced carries. A great way to stress your core is to just carry stuff. You can carry farmer's walks one hand or two hand. You can carry kettlebells one hand or two hand, dumbbells one hand or two hand. You can carry around sandbags, carry around kegs. You can do any kind of like barbell type carry. So we'll sometimes hang with chains, we'll hang weights down below the bar near the ground and then have to walk around with a barbell on your back and the weights are swinging around, and it'll really throw the person around and really challenge their core to hold their positioning. We also have what's called slosh pipes, which are metal pipes that are a third filled with water and oil. And as you would carry those around, as you would do movements, the water would shift around and kind of challenge you to stay in position. We even have what's called a slosh ball, which is a yoga ball we filled a third of the way up with water. And we'll have people do rotational movements and different type of movements with that, which is really good for challenging the core as well. So there's a lot of instability braced training that can be a good option when it comes to carries. So if we're looking at the core, there are three examples. Flexion and rotation is kind of one example. Anti-flexion, anti-rotation is another example. and a braced carry is the third example. Finally, we look at glutes. And you can look at isolative movements like single leg or two leg glute bridges, hip thrusts, frog pumps, hip circle work, things like that. You can look at controlled compound movements. So we do a single kettlebell pickup, which you perform as if it's almost like a single leg deadlift or a single leg RDL. And that really forces the glute to have to drive the hip forward to stand up. Really good movement for isolating the glute. We also have, obviously, a kettlebell swings performed with a hip hinge style rather than a squat style is going to challenge your glutes quite a bit. So there's a lot of variations within those. And then you also have functional movements like sled work, tire flips, sandbag good mornings. There's a lot of variations of work that we can do to target the glutes. The key is just making sure the exercise is performed correctly so that way the lower back doesn't get involved, the quads don't get involved, that the hips are actually rotating in a proper neutral position so you get full glute activation rather than having the hips be posterior anteriorly tilted, which changes the musculature involved and will reduce the glutes in one way or another. So those are three categories we have for glutes: is isolative movements, controlled compound movements, and functional movements. Those are the three areas that we really want to look at: thoracic spine, core, and glutes. They need to be addressed in every single workout. What I'd ask you to do now is to think through in your workouts, even just think of the last workout you did. Did you do something that improved your thoracic spine musculature? Did you do something for your lower traps, your rhomboids, your teres major? If not, you might want to consider adding that in. It's going to help with a lot of postural things. It's going to help with neck health, upper back health, even breathing health due to good posture. It's going to eliminate pains associated with shoulder movement and overhead movements because you'll actually have your body in the correct body position. There's a ton of benefits to this. Think of your core. In the last workout you did you train your core? Yeah, you may have done some crunches for your six pack, but did you train the other muscles of the core? Did you do anything to strengthen your lower back? Are you protecting your spine completely? Are you ensuring that you have full musculature involvement and musculature strength? So that way you have proper engagement and involvement in bigger movements like squats and deadlifts, overhead presses, things like that. And are you training your glutes? Are you training more than just your gluteus max? Okay? Are you training more than just the glutes that you can see in your pants? So are you training your inner hips? Are you protecting your hips? Are you making them strong? So the trainer that we talked with, we did a consultation, and like I said, we came up with a PDF, had 100 examples of warm-ups. So in each of the examples, the thoracic spine musculature is involved. In each example, the core is involved. And in each example, the glutes are involved. 100 examples. They covered all levels of ability, covered body weight only, small equipment, which is dumbbells, weights, barbells, bands, covered, so that would be like at-home equipment, by the way, standard commercial gym type equipment, and even specialty equipment. So that PDF would be available for $20. If you want it, just let us know. You can email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. You would then have warm-ups to do for the rest of your life because they all have progressiveness to them. So pretty cool resource. Thought it might be fun to offer to everybody else. That trainer loved it and has already been using it with their clients. So, you know, if somebody loved it, why not let everybody else love it too? So there's an example of a resource that you can use. Now, if you don't want to pay us, you don't have to. Just search the exercises for the different categories of movements that we expressed here, put them together as a circuit, and make sure you do it every workout. It's always best to do it at the beginning of the workout when you have the most energy. It's also, these are, can be used as great ways to warm up your joints, warm up your, even your nervous system, get your adrenaline going, get your endorphins going, just get the body really primed and ready for the exercises of that day. Don't worry about being exhausted by this stuff. If this stuff wears you out too much that you can't do your other movements, you are out of shape and you need to do this. So if you can go through this circuit and you feel then you're more primed and ready to do your big movements, then it's a good sign that you're in better shape. So don't be afraid to do some work before your big work. It's actually going to improve your performance. So it allows you to increase adrenaline, which increases aggressiveness and decreases kind of like it helps you focus, basically. And then our endorphins get increased, which helps the natural painkillers. It also makes sure that the joints are primed and ready. The muscles are more evened out due to like musculature tightnesses that we get into in the day by just sitting or staying in weird positions for too long. So there's a ton of performance benefits to doing these warm-ups. You will perform your best if you are thoroughly warmed up and ready for your big movements. So stop walking into the gym and just going right to the squat rack. Stop walking into the gym and going right to the bench press. You need to warm yourself up. There's a ton of benefits to it. Cool. So hopefully this helped. Hopefully it raised your awareness to what things you need to be addressing in your workouts, along with the things that you like to address in your workouts. So make sure these areas are covered so you can be not only your best performance, not only your best aesthetics, but also your best health. You can have longevity and be doing what you love for your entire life. Cool. So if you're interested in that resource, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you're interested in programming, if you want to get some online programming from us to make sure you can see how we structure our programs, how we have these things incorporated, if you want to get programming specific to your needs, anything at all, you can check out our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We thank you for listening, and we hope that this podcast is helpful to you. If this podcast does benefit your life, make sure you share it into the people that you love so they can get that same benefit in their life as well. You can share the podcast, social media, email, text, conversation, however you want. Just make sure more people know about the podcast so they can get the best, healthiest information available to them and they can live their best life. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.